It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? Good morning, Atlanta. Thank you for spending your Monday morning with me. It is the Hometown Take right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with your boy Dylan Matthews. I'm live in the Kia Studios. I hope you all had a great weekend. Hope you had some fun things going on. We got a busy, busy week ahead of us in the sports world, though obviously we are getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. Terry Fontenot had an interview with Tory McIlhenny of AtlantaFalcons.com. That's on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube page. But if you missed it, or if you don't feel like sifting through it all and going down and sitting for that 11 minutes and 37 seconds, that's how long the interview was, I will give you a little bit of that interview in 18 minutes. Also, the Atlanta Hawks, they did what the Atlanta Hawks do, be mediocre and go back and forth with their record of being at 500, a game over 500, and a game under 500. So they did what the Atlanta Hawks have done all weekend. We'll get into that here in just a second. Atlanta United. Man, I knew it was going to be tough, but I didn't think they was going to get shellacked like that. 6-1 loss to Columbus Crew, missing an MLS leading 7 of their guys due to international call-ups. One of those guys being the GOAT, Thiago Almada. And we're almost there. Do you hear that? That's opening day. It's creeping right up on us, y'all. Believe it or not, opening day is Thursday. It ain't next week. It ain't next month. It's not 2 weeks from now. Opening week, opening day is Thursday. The Braves play baseball. That counts. Regular season starts on Thursday. Can you believe it? They're going to take on the Washington Nationals in D.C. Max Fried, as you all probably know, named the opening day starter for the Atlanta Braves. We'll go through the rest of the rotation through the first 7 games for the Bravos in, again, 17 minutes as well when we go around the A. And I'm going to give you my early expectations for the Atlanta Braves. We're going to do that at 5:40. We'll also talk to the morning shift crew, get a feel on how their weekend was. I know they got some stories for y'all. So we'll do that as we wrap up this show. But like I said, we have to start with the Atlanta Hawks. I'm sorry to sigh in your ear this early in the morning, but this team is just frustrating, and it's my fault. You know what? I'm going to come on here this morning and tell you it's my fault because I should know by now, and I do know. I do know better than to get my hopes up about the Atlanta Hawks. I do know better, but I'm just such a homer, and again, that's why this show is called The Hometown Take. Born and raised here, man. All these teams are my teams. I grew up watching and loving all of these teams, all of the hometown teams, so I just want the Hawks to be better. I just want them to be better. I want them to be consistent. But, alas, we aren't getting that, are we? Guess not. So, the Atlanta Hawks lose 123-119 to the Memphis Grizzlies last night. Had a good game on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. They beat a team they should beat, but then they lose to a team that they could have beaten. They were right there. They had a chance. 123-119. They weren't that far off, but just couldn't finish down the stretch. And I'll let you hear from Trae Young and Quinn Snyder in the next segment when we go around the A. But I want to jump to the end of the game here because there was an interesting sequence. Not interesting. Actually, frustrating is the word. Trae Young goes to shoot a 3. It's not a very good shot. It's a logo 3. Then he misses the 3. And then he gives up a foul shot, a three-point foul shot. Mind you, this happens with 3 minutes left in the game. I got the play-by-play pulled up. 3 minutes left in the game. Trae Young misses a 36-foot three-point pull-up jump shot. And at this point, the Hawks are down three. Mind you, there's 3 minutes left in the game. Not 2 seconds. Not 10 seconds. Not 30 seconds. There's 3 minutes left in the game. Why in the Sam heck are you taking a logo three there, Trey? Now, again, we'll get to this. Quinn Snyder does want the team to shoot more threes, I guess. He wants the team to not be hesitant on pulling threes. I understand all of that. And we'll hear from Trae Young because he emphasized Quinn Snyder's message. Of course you did, Trey. And look, I'm not trying to throw shade Trae Young's way. I'm just saying, like, okay, the coach wants you to shoot more threes. Cool. Fine. Whatever. The coach wants you and the team to be confident in shooting more threes and shoot those open threes without hesitancy and knock down shots. I don't know if that was necessarily a message for you, Trey. We know you're confident in shooting threes. We know you'll take your threes where you can get them. I think that message was to everybody else. Hey, when you get it, pull it. I think that was more of a message for everybody else on the team. Not you, Trae Young. We know you gonna pull it. As you did with 3 minutes left, down three. Again, I don't mind us taking threes. What I do mind is good shot selection and awareness of where we're at in the game, how much time is left in the game, and what the score is.
You suck.
He doesn't suck. He just infuriates me. Because why? Why are we taking a 36-foot three, down three, with 3 minutes left? I don't understand. And then you give up a three-shot foul to Ja Morant. So you add insult to freaking injury. So instead of now us just being down three, hopefully getting a stop and trying to make it a one-point game or maybe even tie the game, now it's a two-possession game with 2:35 left because you foul Ja Morant at the three-point line. You can't do that, Trey. I'm sorry. You got to get criticized this morning because you can't go and shoot a logo three, miss it, and then give up 3 points. Literally a six-point swing that is all on you.
I thought you had a gun.
What? Oh. He must have. Oh, I see what you did there now, Josh. I see what you did there. Oh, you sneaky guy, you. That boy Josh is sneaky back there. Shout out to my guy Josh Hacker to hold it down behind the glass. Josh. You're funny, man. But the point being, you just can't let that happen. That really was the biggest swing in the game. And I hate to say, because there was still 2:35 left, I hate to say that did it for the Hawks, that did the Hawks in, that was the nail in the coffin for the Atlanta Hawks. But at that time, and still now, it feels like it was. You were right there. Down three with the ball. 3 minutes left. Plenty of time. You can go get a two. You can get to the basket. Or even move the ball around and get a better three-point shot than a dang 36-foot logo three. And then go give up a foul. And give up three free throws to Ja Morant. We could have had a much better 35-second sequence than missing a logo three and fouling Ja Morant from the three-point line to go down six. We could have had a much better 35-second sequence than that, in my opinion. So, just frustrating, man. Just I really, really, really am frustrated by this team. But, alas, they are now 37-38. And guess what? To add even more insult to injury, they are now tied for eighth in the East. Yes, they are tied with the Toronto Raptors. Luckily, they have the tiebreaker over the Toronto Raptors. So we do have the tiebreaker. But again, we got teams nipping on our heels and nipping on our ankles for that eighth seed. And while we do have a solid 3.5-game cushion between us and the 11th place team, this team could, if they don't handle business here down the stretch, and I'll let you know the upcoming schedule here in a second, if they don't handle business down the stretch, they could find themselves in 10th. They could F around and find out. Here are the last few games for the Atlanta Hawks. Last 7 games, to be exact. Got the Cavaliers tomorrow. Nets on Friday. 2 tough games. The Nets game could be very important. Will be very. All these games are important, honestly. And you got the Mavs on Sunday. The Bulls a week from tomorrow, next Tuesday. Wizards next Wednesday. Then you close out the regular season. Final 2 games. 76ers, Celtics. Tough 2 games to close out. There are some winnable games in here. Cavaliers, maybe they're playing good basketball. The Nets, hopefully you can beat the Nets. The Mavericks, you should beat the Mavericks, in my opinion. They're imploding right now. Luka talking about how he's not having fun on the court anymore and smiling. Everybody's trying to blame it on Kyrie, and, you know, that's what people do. I don't know if it's Kyrie's fault or not. But anywho, you should beat the Bulls. You beat the Wizards. So there's a little 4-game stretch there where you should go on a streak. And again, I have no confidence that they will go on this said 4-game winning streak. But there is a one runway there to at least keep yourself in eighth, in my opinion. Celtics game, that's going to be tough. I mean, the Cavaliers game, excuse me, that's going to be tough. You're at home, though, so hopefully you get the win. The Nets on the road, that's going to be tough. The Mavericks at home, you should beat them. Bulls on the road, even though it's a road game, you should beat them. And that's a team you need to beat because they're 36-38. They're right there. Again, another one of those teams nipping at your heels. Wizards, you've taken care of them all year. Take care of them again. 76ers and Celtics. 76ers at home. Good luck. Trying to beat Boston on the road. Last game of the regular season. Hopefully the Celtics are resting everybody because they've clinched the one seed by that point. So that's what we can pray for as far as that game goes. Because I have no confidence if Tatum and Jaylen Brown and all them are playing that the Hawks can beat them. They can beat them. It's just, to me, they're too inconsistent to beat a good team like that. So there you go. All right, real quick before we hit a break here. This NCAA tournament's exciting, y'all. I know overall college basketball isn't as fun anymore because you don't have the storylines. You don't have the teams that you root for, the teams that you hate, just because everybody is so in flux with this one-and-done era. But the good thing about this one-and-done era is that the NCAA tournament is even more exciting. I mean, look at the teams we got in the Final Four. FAU, San Diego State, UConn, and Miami. Wow. Seems like an eclectic bunch there. But the one-and-done era does make the NCAA tournament more exciting. I do have to admit that. All right. When we come back in about 5 minutes, you already know what time it is. We do it every single morning here on the Hometown Take at 520. We go around the A and talk about all the local sports teams in the city of Atlanta, the state of Georgia. We'll talk about Atlanta United because they got shellacked. But I'm not so worried about what happened on Saturday. I'm worried about what's going to happen next Saturday. I'm worried about how they respond. The Hawks, as we just talked about, stay consistently inconsistent. Can't talk. We'll have some Hawks audio for you. Let you hear from Trae Young and Quinn Snyder. Terry Fontenot, like I said, did a sit-down interview with Torrey McElhaney. It's on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube page. I'll let you hear some clips from that. And opening day, It's Thursday. It's close, y'all. It's here. And I'm ready for some Braves baseball. We'll go over it all in 5 minutes when we go around the A. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Hometown Take rolling right along with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Monday morning. We'll be right back to go around the A on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I thought he had a gun.
Back to your early morning sports fix.
Love is like this. Let's go, let's go.
This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. Hope you are looking forward to a busy week in sports. The NBA is coming down the home stretch. Opening day is on Thursday. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. Still got plenty of NFL rumors and reports and things of that nature buzzing around. So a lot going on in the sports world. A lot is also going on in the Atlanta sports scene. Before we get to around the A, another major thing that's going on is we know who the Final Four are now. San Diego State, the Aztecs, making it to their first Final Four in program history. Also, the first time in NCAA tournament history that there is no top three seed in the Final Four. How about that? I was telling y'all, this one-and-done era has its cons, but it also has its pros. And one of those pros are anything, literally anything can happen in this NCAA tournament. And anything has happened. We got a 9 seed. The highest seed in it is a 4 seed. I mean, FAU is in the Final Four. Who had that on their bingo card? So, while the one-and-done era makes the regular season boring because there are no storylines, no things to watch out for, it does make the NCAA tournament even more exciting because you really just never know what's going to happen. So 2-5 seeds, a 9 seed, and a 4 seed make the Final Four. San Diego State and Florida Atlantic on one side of the bracket and Miami and UConn in the other. Who would have thunk it? So very excited to watch the Final Four games. How about Miami rallying and coming back to win that game against Texas? I thought they had no shot. But, again, that's why you watch. That's why you stay tuned. Because they sure enough rallied and came back and got it done. Okay. Speaking of getting it done, let's go ahead and get this thing done that we call Around the A.
It's time for a look at our local sports scene. This is Around the A on the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews.
Atlanta United, I knew it was going to be tough for y'all, but my goodness gracious. 6-1? Dang. I knew y'all was going to be missing y'all's players that was on international duty, but I didn't know y'all was going to miss them that much. Atlanta United. It was really, I'm not going to say not good for this from the start, because Columbus did get the first goal, and that's never good for Atlanta United, even though this season they have come back to salvage points, one draw, one win when trailing. However, today was not one of them days, because after they got the first one, Columbus did, Atlanta United started to play well. But they just couldn't really get that attack together. They couldn't really get connected on the attack. And you could tell. You could just tell they were missing Thiago Almada. You could tell they were missing Miles Robinson. You could tell they were missing Jorgis Giakoumakis. You could tell they were missing Derek Etienne Jr. They were also missing Ronald Hernandez, Machop Chole, Luis Abram. Seven guys missing for the Five Stripes Saturday night due to international call-ups. And look, I'm not going to look too far into this. I don't think us Atlanta United fans should worry. I don't think they should panic. It is a little slightly eye-opening to see the way this team plays without a lot of their guys. But again, you're missing seven of your guys. Most of them were starters. You aren't going to be as fluid and as connected as you are when you got all your guys in there, obviously. And the guys playing together, they just looked like they didn't really have a lot of time playing together. So, tough one for Atlanta United. But for me, the most important thing for Atlanta United now is how they respond. Shout out to Mike Conti, obviously voice of Atlanta United. He put out a very nice tweet. So, Atlanta United has two wins, two losses, and a draw after multi-goal losses in 2022. So they had two wins, two losses, two draw, two losses, two wins, and a draw after multi-goal losses in 2022. All time after multi-goal losses, 11 wins, six losses, seven draws. And in that 2018 championship MLS Cup winning season, five wins, zero losses, one draw after multi-goal losses. So even the championship team had their days. All teams have their days. This was one of those days, one of those circumstances for Atlanta United where there was a lot going against them. But now I want to see how they respond. It will be interesting to see, though, who all can play 90 talking about everybody coming back. Will Miles Robinson be able to play 90? Will Giakoumakis be able to play 90? Will Thiago Almada be able to play 90? That's going to be the most important thing to look out for. But I want to see how the Five Stripes respond after a just drubbing 6-1 loss against Columbus Crew. Again, five wins, zero losses, and a draw for that 2018 championship team. All time, Atlanta United has responded pretty well. 11 wins, 6 losses, 7 draws after multi-goal losses. And last year, 2 wins, 2 losses, and a draw after multi-goal losses. So they've usually been good about responding as a franchise. Hopefully, the same happens on Saturday. And Saturday, as a matter of fact, they're going to be back at home, back in the bins, taking on one of their arch nemesis, the New York Red Bulls. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game pregame at 7, kick at 7:30. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore will be on the call right here on the flagship station of Atlanta United, Sports Radio 92.9. The game. Moving on to the Atlanta Falcons. Promised this for you earlier. Now we're going to give it to you. Terry Fontenot had a sit-down interview with Tory McIlhenny of AtlantaFalcons.com. That interview, again, is posted on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube page if you want to hear it in its entirety. But I'm going to touch on a couple of key things Terry talked about. First, let's hear from Terry Fontenot on what they have done in free agency that will, Terry used the word crystallize in the interview, so I'm going to use the word crystallize too. But basically, how what they have done in free agency is going to secure, crystallize, basically emphasize what they have done in the draft.
Well, you want to be disciplined in the draft all the time, and you want to make sure you bring in the best players, and you don't want to reach for a need, or you want to bring in the best players. What it helps when you do a lot of good things in free agency, it just helps you to have more discipline, and it helps to be really clear. And whether you're moving around, whether you're moving up or moving down, it helps you to have discipline and say, let's just continue to improve this team and improve this roster. Because sometimes if you do have some glaring needs, it can make you a little desperate in some areas, and you may want to reach. But this makes you a lot more disciplined, and you can stick to the plan.
That is Atlanta Falcons GM on what they have done so far in free agency, how that's going to solidify, emphasize, crystallize, and ensure what they do in the draft. Let's also hear from Terry Fontenot and that amazing, nice elevator background music on the importance of meeting with draft prospects on their pro day.
And with those, you get to get more into the football. And because you feel like you know the player well, again, because our scouting department does such a good job of gathering all the information. And so we spend a little bit of time getting to know them more, but then you really get to delve into football. And our coaching staff does a really good job talking to the player, watching some of their film, watching some of our film, really assessing where they are. And it's not so much learning if this player is smart enough to play for us, because they all are. It's learning how does the player learn and how would we coach this player. So you're getting kind of a head start on if he does end up in the building, you know exactly how to utilize him and what his capacity is and how he's going to learn.
Interesting stuff there from GM Terry Fontenot. In the first cut, when he talked about how what they have done in free agency is going to basically ensure, impact, crystallize what they do in the draft. Interesting, you know, he's kind of telling you that he takes the approach of, look, we don't want to have to be reaching for anybody, so we're going to address a little bit of everything in free agency, get some guys in key spots, what we feel are key spots in free agency. That way, we're not having to reach. That way, we don't have a crazy, just glaring need in the draft, and we have to reach for somebody at number 8 or whatever number they'll be picking at. So, interesting stuff there from Terry Fontenot. And then the one you just heard where he was talking about meeting with guys during their pro day and how important those meetings are, that you understand at that point and you learn at that time in those meetings how they would coach that player. That way, if they do draft them, they kind of have a head start and know, okay, this is how we need to approach this player. This is how we need to coach him up. This is how we would envision using this player. So, interesting information there from Terry Fontenot. And I wanted to make sure I get to this one. Here's Terry Fontenot on the key to making late-round picks in the draft.
And I think leading up to the draft, that's this process where no one's working harder than the scouts, the coaches, the analytics group, in really digging and finding players and us spending time with them, going out and working out players and cleaning up the visions. And because sometimes you'll have some players in those areas that maybe only one scout looked at and one coach looked at. And so you really rely on their conviction and all the work that they've done.
Interesting. Scouts got to put in that work. Harry putting in that work. 24-7, 365 right now for Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons organization. And it's no different when trying to make those late round picks. So good stuff there from Terry Fontenot. Again, it's on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube page if you want to listen to the interview in its entirety. All right, want to get one more cut in here. This one from the Atlanta Hawks. Going to let you hear from Quinn Snyder. Was going to let you hear from Trae Young, but not quite enough time in Around the A. We're going to touch on the Braves in the next segment in about 5 minutes at 5:40. Get you ready for opening day and tell you my expectations. But one more piece of audio here from Quinn Snyder, actually.
We have a tendency to identify ourselves with what happens on the offensive end. Not a tendency, we do. And we need to, this identity of a team, you don't have to be a great defensive team. You just have to care. And that's what we need. And we saw that tonight. And you're not going to get this league is going crazy offensively. It's hard to, to defend in this league, but we got to get back and make it harder on the other team and easier on ourselves.
That was Quinn Snyder on what the identity of this Atlanta Hawks team is. And I want to know what the identity is. So I'm glad he told me, because I feel like part of this team's inconsistencies are this team sometimes feels like it doesn't have an identity. That just, it goes out there and does things sometimes. And it just goes out there and plays basketball without a true identity. So you heard it there. Their identity, I guess. So, I don't know. I'm ready to see this team with a full year, a full offseason of Quinn Snyder, then a full season of Quinn Snyder. With everything that Quinn Snyder wants in place, and then I'll be ready to judge this team. I'm not ready to judge this team right now. I'm over this team. This team, I'm not over them. I want them to win still, but I just know what this team is. I feel like I know what this team's ceiling is. I know where this team is going. Hopefully they make it out of the play-in, and then whoever they get in the first round, probably going to be a 4 or 5-game series, just to be completely honest. Unless they flip a switch. Unless they flip that 2021 switch, then I'm not expecting much out of this team when we talk about the postseason. So we'll see. I hope I'm wrong, but this team has shown me that they are consistently inconsistent. All right, let's talk about a team that is not consistently inconsistent, but consistently consistent. The 5-time NL East champion, 2021 World Series champion, Atlanta Braves. They start regular season play on Thursday, opening day right around the corner. I'll let you know my expectations. I'll let you know about the first 7 games, what the rotation is looking like pitching-wise, if you haven't heard already. That's all coming up in about 5 minutes, right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
With more of the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dylan, focus.
I'm staying my best. That didn't even come out right. I'm doing my best to stay focused. Look, played the drop to tell me to stay focused, and I can't even stay focused to respond to the drop telling me to stay focused. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios. Final full segment here on the Hometown Take. We'll talk to the morning shift peeps, the morning shift crew here in about 17 minutes. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll talk about how their weekends went. What they got coming up on the show today, coming up on the show this week. I know they've got some interesting weekend stories for you all, so we'll get to that here at about 5:58. But what we have to talk about right now is the Atlanta Braves. Opening day is Thursday, and I cannot wait for this season. Ready for the Atlanta Braves to get back at it. I'm ready for them to make another deep playoff run because honestly, last year just kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. I'm not upset that they didn't win the World Series. They just won it in 2021. I wasn't expecting them to go back-to-back. I knew that they could, but it wasn't at the top of my expectation list for the Atlanta Braves. I expect them to make the postseason and make a deep run. They didn't really make the deep run part, though, and that's what kind of has a sour taste in my mouth. You get outed in the NLDS to the Philadelphia Phillies. And look, the Phillies did end up making it to the World Series, so can't be too mad about it, I guess. But we know the first 7 starters of the year. We know the rotation for the first 7 games of the year for the Atlanta Braves. If you haven't heard who they are, and when they will be starting, I'll give it to you right now. Opening day starter, talked about that earlier, obviously, Max Fried. This Thursday, March 30th, against the Nationals in D.C. You got a 3-game series with the Nats, by the way, in D.C., then a 3-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis, and then you have your home opener Thursday, April 6th, against the San Diego Padres, and you have a 3-game series with them. So, again, March 30th, opening day, Max Fried is the starter. Saturday, April 1st, Spencer Strider will pitch in Game 2. Here's where it gets interesting. Third game of the season. Final game of the Nationals series. Jared Schuster is going to get the nod. Then Monday, April 3rd, to start the series against the St. Louis Cardinals, our guy Charlie Morton. Charlie is going to start the series and start his first game of the year. Monday, April 3rd against the St. Louis Cardinals. Then Tuesday, April 4th, fifth game of the year, Dylan Dodd. We talk about Dylon. There's a new Dylon in town. Kind of, sort of. With the Atlanta Braves, that is. Not here. Not on Sports Radio 929 The Game. It's only me. I'm the only Dylon here. But Dylan Dodd is going to get the start against the Arizona Cardinals in the second game of that Cardinals series. We'll see how he does. And then to close out the Cardinals series, the rotation will come back around to Max Fried. And then Thursday, April 6th, first game at home of this year. And first game against the Padres, we'll see Spencer Strider and that probably white Braves 99. Remember, he changed his number to 99 this year because he's going to be throwing 99 constantly, going to be throwing them heaters against the Padres. So those are your first seven starters. I should say that's the rotation for the first seven games, a better way to put it, because you're not going to have seven different starters, obviously. But my expectations for the Atlanta Braves when it comes to these first two series. I think the Braves need to at least be 4-2. Simple as that. You win both series. The Nationals, they're not better than you. I don't even think they're close. You should take 2 out of 3 against the Nationals. Cardinals, okay, they're solid. But I think you're better. You should take 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals. Point blank, period. You, depending on how Jarrett Schuster does in that national series, depending on how Dylan Dodd does in his start against the Cardinals.
Dylon.
And I hope Dylan Dodd is throwing hot fire out there against the Cardinals. But obviously, Jared Schuster's first big league start. Could be some nerves there. Could have a hiccup there. Same thing with Dylan Dodd. First big league start on the road against St. Louis. Solid ball club. Could have a hiccup there. But I think you should be 4-2 through the first two series and the first six games of the season if you're the Atlanta Braves. And then you have a good early measuring stick series with the Padres. That'll be really fun at Truist Park. Hopefully I can maybe go to one of those games. We'll see. Not holding my breath for that or anything, though, because, you know, them tickets be taxing. And we'll see if we get any tickets here at the station. That's what I'm really holding out for. But anywho, we will see what happens on that front. I'm just ready for baseball, man. I just cannot wait for some Braves baseball. It's going to be fun to watch them. They're going to be fun this year. I'm excited to see how the Braves are affected by the new rule changes. I'm excited to see what Matt Olson's going to look like without that shift. He finna tear the league up. With those bigger bases, we might see Ronnie, Ozzy, Michael Harris is second, run a little bit more, get some more stolen bases. So I think it's going to be a fun year. And as far as the long-term expectation for this team this year, we already know what it is. World Series. This team is win now mode. They have been for a while now. So the expectation, win the NL East again. I know it's tough. It was tough last year. Win the NL East again. Make you a deep playoff run and go get you another World Series trophy. Simple as that. That's the expectation for the Braves. But for the first two series, if you go 4-2 through the first six, you're in a good spot, in my opinion. You're in a good spot. And then we'll see what happens against the San Diego Padres at home in the home opener series. But that is going to do it for the last full segment of the Hometown Take. But coming up next, we're going to talk to the Morning Shift, see what they had going on this weekend. I know Bo did a little cooking. Tiffany and Mike did a little partying. So we'll talk about how their weekends went when we come back right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. and the Odyssey app. It is the Hometown Take with your boy, Dylan Matthews. We're crossing over with the morning shift next.
Thank you, Dylan.
Look at the top local sports stories with the Hometown Take.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Final moments here on the Hometown Take with your boy, Dylan Matthews. You already know what time it is. It's time to talk to the other three parts of my crew. What? I didn't know exactly what to say there. It still worked, though.
It was an opening.
It was statement. Clean.
Yeah, it was an
the
opening.
Other.
It was clean.
The other.
Well, the main. I'll say the main parts of me. The parts of me that complete me. The morning shift crew. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson in the studio. Tiffany is just taken out right now. Tiffany, you seem like slightly loopy right now.
I am.
I should have brought you some tea today, too. You should let me know. I would have got you zooted and booted.
A lot happening right now.
Just a lot
now,
going
now
on.
I can't hold it together. My voice is gone.
I'm looking at Tiff and I'm wondering how many weeks are left in the XFL season because she looks like she's had a long weekend, buddy.
Man. I don't think the XFL is to blame for all of this.
I was about to say.
Oh, really?
Hey, throw on the bus already. But he
backed over me.
In case you all did not see on her Instagram, you can't see her now, obviously, because this is radio. She did switch her hair up. She got that back in black working. She got the jet black going on. Well, I don't know why you're laughing. Dude, you made such a big deal about you changing your hair.
Tip.
And now I'm trying to plug you changing your hair. And now you're looking like, why is he talking about my hair?
If things don't work out with this show, you've got to hire him as a hype man just to follow you around and hype you up.
I'm going to keep you hype. I'm going to keep you zooted and booted now.
You know the best part about it is Dylan is he's one of the nicest human beings I've ever encountered in this business.
Thank you, Bo.
And he's trying every day. He comes in here and tries to uplift you before the show, and all he does is make it awkward as hell.
And I don't
and
know
it
how.
It never works.
I only give compliments. I don't know how.
I don't know why it makes me laugh. And actually, anything makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So I don't want to take that away from you. I laugh all the time. My face hurts sometimes, and I laugh by myself. I appreciate you.
You don't cook by yourself.
My fridge was the hot topic on the group thread yesterday.
Sure was.
Mike threw out the initial roast, and then Oren came in with the haymaker.
Man.
If Oren wasn't 6'7", him and I would be fighting right now because he tried to ruin the game for me yesterday on the conference call.
Now, I got to defend Oren here.
And then he did it. And by the way, we literally, I told him on the call, we get off the call, and then he starts texting the group.
I counted 7 seconds, Bo. I purposely counted 7 seconds to account for the delay. Somehow, I still was before everything happened.
I know we got to wrap up here, but both of y'all are party fouling for being on a conference call and watching a game and commenting on the game. It's like, dude, wrap this call up and stop yelling at the freaking TV, both of you.
So, just for a little context here, what happened was we were on our show call. Shout out to my guy, Oren Romaine. He's going to be with us for the first 2 hours moving forward. Excited to have him helping out. What happened was Bo was yelling at the TV, getting all mad at the San Diego State. And who did San Diego State play? Can't even remember.
Creighton.
He was getting all mad at that game. He was yelling. Everybody was like, Bo, stop yelling at the TV. And then Oren, he commentated, said what was happening. And Oren, he didn't know that Bo was a little bit behind. And Bo just goes crazy. Bo goes ballistic. Well, he didn't go ballistic, but he got upset.
I'm waiting. We can tell this later. But I'm waiting. I'm cooking. I'm waiting to pull the pork butt off because it was time. I was waiting for this call to get over. You were dragging it out a little bit there at the end.
I was recapping.
And Oren's just giving up all the things that are happening in the game. Don't you point at me, Michael.
You're the one dragging it out, Bo. Let's be honest.
Wasn't. I was trying to get going.
You were dragging it out.
You know what?
The tribe has spoken.
This handoff has been drug out. Dylan, let's get to us.
It is time to wrap up. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Hometown Take this morning. The morning shift coming up next. Don't miss it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.